What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates, your place for all Pittsburgh Pirates baseball year round from the Locked On Sports Network. I hope you guys are having a great Monday. We're getting close to Thanksgiving week, so again, be thankful for everybody in your life. Be thankful for everything that we have today, and I'm glad you guys are back listening to me once again. Sorry if I sound a little nasally. I'm still a little bit under the weather, as I told you guys last week. But we are all good over here in Ethan land. I am your host, Ethan Smith. I hope you guys, again, are having a great Monday. And the MLB offseason has been a little quiet so far. It should be picking up pretty soon with winter meetings coming up pretty soon. But today on the podcast, we're going to talk about three trades that would help the Pittsburgh Pirates this 2020 offseason, all three being pretty decent trades for both sides, I would think, as I constructed them myself. I am also not a Major League Baseball GM, so I don't know if these trades are actually viable or not. And then after that, we're going to talk about some of the best traits of PNC Park, the home ballpark of the Pittsburgh Pirates, a place that I've had the pleasure of going to multiple times to see the Pittsburgh Pirates probably lose because I don't remember most of those games. But still a beautiful ballpark with probably one of the best backdrops in baseball. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, guys. Also on Twitter, at Locked On Pirates, I want you guys to start sending me questions so we can start doing a mailbag offseason episode. I want you guys to actually start asking yourself, do you want to come on this podcast? I'd love to have you guys come on the podcast and just talk about whatever we want to talk about. I mean, we could have multiple viewers, multiple listeners on the podcast and just talk about Pirates baseball. Talk about anything you want. Talk about some things I might be missing. If you think that there's some ideas, and I've had a couple people do this, give me good ideas for the podcast that they wanted to hear, you guys just let me know at Locked On Pirates on Twitter, okay? And today, we're going to go ahead and get into these trades, all right? So these are three trades that I constructed myself. And when I was looking at them, I was trying to gauge value the best as possible. It's very hard to do that right now with the Pittsburgh Pirates just because of the 2020 season being pretty much as bad as it could have been. It was very difficult to really gauge what the value of these guys are. So when I made these three trades, I really actually put the value more into what the other team would be needing, if that makes sense, more than what the Pirates would need back. And I just took the prospects from the top 30 on the MLB prospect pipeline, and I would basically create a number saying, okay, like, for instance, let's say back when we traded Andrew McCutchen, we were getting top prospects for him, but we were never getting a top prospect for Neil Walker. Excuse me. So that's how I constructed these today. So the first deal, and last week, this is kind of interesting because I did bring this up to Gabrielle, who is the host of Locked On Red Sox. I brought this up on her podcast last week. The Red Sox make a deal for Buccos pitcher Trevor Williams. So in this deal, the Red Sox get Trevor Williams, obviously, and the Pirates receive left-hand pitcher Chris Murphy and outfielder Jisun Rosario. Now, this is why I said the Red Sox right off the top of my head whenever it comes to pitching, because the Red Sox don't have pitching. It's very hard for the Pittsburgh Pirates to not have the worst pitching staff in baseball, and then you look at the stats, and the Boston Red Sox had the worst pitching staff in baseball. They were starting basically AAA pitchers all year. That's why they finished as a bottom feeder in the AL East. And, like, don't get me construed here. Trevor Williams isn't, like, a great pitcher. We're not going to sit there and act like he is. In 2019, he had a great year. He went 14-10. We all remember that. Last year, he was god-awful. I mean, as most of the Pittsburgh Pirates were. But when you have to look at a certain dynamic of starting pitching, right? Alex Cora is back in Boston. And in 2018, whenever they won the World Series, he had a loaded pitching staff, a loaded roster. He's coming into a roster now that has J.D. Martinez's absurdly big contract, absolutely no bullpen arms, and hardly any pitching. So it's going to be a test on Cora. But why not make a trade with a team that wants to trade starting pitching like the Pittsburgh Pirates, because they're going to be having guys come up in the system eventually, and then the number one pick is probably going to be Kumar Rocker or Jake Leiter or somebody else. Realistically, you got to make that trade to me. Like, you have to get an arm. And, like, I know the Red Sox have been hinted at Trevor Bauer, but why throw all your cards in one hat when you could trade for Trevor Williams and sign two other arms, and then you have a full five-man rotation? Because Chris Sale's not coming back until, like, July. So you really need some arms that are going to be there for at least the beginning of the season to just keep you on your feet. And, again, Williams didn't have a great 2020, but he could bounce back. You never know. He could bounce back in 2021 with the Pirates. He could bounce back in 2021 with the Red Sox. He could bounce back somewhere else if they try to trade him. But then going into the prospects that the Red Sox would be giving us. So I'm going to start with Chris Murphy. He came, he's mostly seen his action in college in San Diego and the lower minor leagues. He's posted a minor league record of 14-15 with a 3.71 ERA and 51 starts. Not that bad. I mean, it's not bad, 14-15, but the ERA is what I usually look at in the minors. I don't usually look at the win-loss record. Murphy is ranked as a 26th-ranked prospect for the Red Sox and could finally give the Pirates a left-hand pitcher in the farm system whose ETA at the moment is 2022. One thing we know about the Neil Huntington era in Pittsburgh is that he did never really had any left-handed pitching. If you were 6 foot or taller and were a right-hand pitcher, you were basically a Pirates prospect. Now, Jisson Rosario may be harder to get from this deal, and he is a solid outfielder and the 16th-ranked prospect in the Red Sox system. He came to Boston from the Padres, and in the minors, he's slashing 264, 340, and 376, but he's yet to play above A-plus ball. So, he would be more of a project outfielder, which, this trade here, I really don't think it would be out of the realm for the Pirates to get the 16th and the 26th-ranked prospects in their system. Especially if the Red Sox really value pitching that much, which they really should right now. But the thing that I like about Rosario is his gifted speed, and it will make him a solid outfielder defensive-wise. And, I mean, his ETA is 2022-2023, so obviously this trade would be one of those you wouldn't really see the effects of it until probably, like, 2025. And that's really how a lot of these trades might be. But that's just kind of how it is for the most part. But you have to look at it in a certain realm that the Pittsburgh Pirates need prospects, especially left-handed pitching and outfielding, and the Red Sox need pitching. So that first trade, I think, is pretty good. So now we're going to move up the ladder a little bit to a guy who definitely has a little bit more trade value after being a Gold Glove candidate for the second straight year, and that's going to be Adam Frazier, and he's going to head to the Big Apple. The Yankees receive second baseman slash utility player Adam Frazier, and the Pirates receive catcher Antonio Gomez and right-hand pitcher Yasni Contreras. This trade here is made in the assumption that DJ LeMahieu decides to leave the Yankees, which could very well happen. He could very well go to Boston and continue that long-standing tradition of Yankees and Boston players playing for the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees. But regardless of if he stays or not, the Yankees need infield depth. Like, they need it. They had a lot of injuries in 2020 to the middle infield, and Frazier, who also isn't exactly the most healthy player in the world, might not help there, but if he does stay healthy, it would help, and I think it's worth the risk for the Yankees. Frazier also, I mean, he's a great defensive infielder, and putting him alongside some really good stars in New York could actually probably help him at the plate as well, and he started off slow last year at the plate, but he ended up slashing 274 down the stretch. I mean, he's still proven that he's a pretty solid utility man. And as for the Pirates in this trade, they'd be getting catcher Antonio Gomez, who has looked absolutely stellar in rookie ball, playing 15 games and posting a 288, 351, 442 slash line and showing impressive arm strength from the backstop. And when I mean impressive, he has pop times as low as 1.8 seconds from the backstop. That means he's throwing the ball from home plate to second base in nearly 2 seconds. That's insane. Like, that's great. And I think he'd be fabulous value behind Jacob Stallings, because we've kind of established that Stallings is going to be the catcher for probably the next couple years until his contract runs up. But why not go ahead and have a placement option behind him, so whenever he comes out, you can make a smooth transition to, say, an Antonio Gomez or whoever. That would be a very good spot for him. Now, as for Rosney Contreras, he has 50 grades across the board on his pitches, and currently has a 16-11 record with a 3.25 ERA, with his highest level of play coming from Class A. So he has time to develop. That's a good thing. That's the thing I like about most of these trades, is these guys have time to develop. They're not going to be expected to win right away. And for the Yankees, again, this trade is just basically to bolster their infield depth, but Frazier could also start at second base if LeMahieu leaves, and it gives them a good fail-safe option for the future. I don't really, of the three trades I made, I think that one is probably the least favorite of the three, but this third one, this is where I get crazy. There's a all-star in this league that is yet to ever make the postseason, and he's needed help for a long time, and that's Mike Trout in the City of Angels. And right now, the Pittsburgh Pirates are in a full-fledged rebuild. We know this. Josh Bell is their best player still. I will still say that. Key Brian Hayes had a great year. Don't get me wrong. He's in our future plans, but Joshua Bell is our best player on our roster. He has trade value. Good trade value. Don't get me wrong there. It dropped because he played terrible in 2020. But he has good trade value. So here we go on sending Josh Bell and Trevor Williams to the City of Angels. The Angels get Josh Bell and Trevor Williams. How about that? They get a first baseman power bat alongside Shohei Ohtani, with Albert Pujols regressing as he gets older. And you get another right-handed pitcher in Trevor Williams, who can give you some solid starts as a fourth or fifth option rather than a second option. The Pirates, in this case, receive outfielder Brandon Marsh, utility man Deshaun Knowles, and left-hand pitcher Hector Yan. Boy, would this trade be good for both teams. I would absolutely love this trade. Bell can make a two-headed monster in Anaheim with himself and Shohei Ohtani splitting DH duties, while Williams also gives the Angels another arm in the starting rotation. Just that sentence alone, just imagine having Mike Trout, Joshua Bell, and Shohei Ohtani and Joe Adell in the same offense. It'd be crazy. You'd be crazy not to at least consider this if you were the Angels. Outfielder Brandon Marsh is easily the centerpiece of this trade outside of Josh Bell, because he ranks as the 76th best prospect in baseball and the best prospect in the Angels farm system. He's slashing .288, .368, .431 across multiple levels of minor league baseball in 267 games, so Marsh has proven he will be a force in Major League Baseball at some point in the outfield. He's also a solid outfielder with proven speed, so he could make an appearance if traded to Pittsburgh sooner rather than later, joining Jared Oliva, Travis Swaggerty, and Brian Reynolds in the outfield. Boy, would I love to have Brandon Marsh in a Pittsburgh Pirates uniform at some point. This kid is great. You look at some of his stats, he's just an absolute unit in the outfield at 6'4". Deshaun Knowles also is a ninth-ranked prospect in the Angels system and is labeled a utility because of the immense ability to play anywhere, but he prefers second base. So if you trade Frazier and then make this trade, Knowles would basically fill Adam Frazier's role, as he has 50 great stats and everything except power, which comes in at a 45. And the cool thing about Knowles here is he's probably the one guy in this trade that could have plenty of time to develop, because he's only 19 and his ETA is not until 2023. But the return would be valuable because he can play anywhere. He could learn the system. He could learn a lot of things in Pittsburgh. And then Hector Yan is the 11th ranked prospect in the Angels farm system as a left-handed pitcher, and is the icing on the cake of this deal, as he would give the Pirates a solid left-handed pitcher prospect who is expected to play as soon as 2022. Yan right now in the minors has a 3.30 ERA in 42 starts, and his fastball velocity has continued to go up, as well as his curveball getting better, so that would just be a pretty much an added bonus. And I just really think that trade would just help both teams immensely, especially the Angels if they really want to compete. Because if they don't compete soon, it's going to get really bad for the Angels, especially with Mike Trout possibly getting traded. Because, I mean, like, you can't be that good and not ever play in the postseason in your entire career. And that would just... I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know if Josh Bell helps there or Trevor Williams helps there, but you got to at least try to do something. So, when we come back from break, we're going to talk about some good traits about Pittsburgh Pirates home ballpark of PNC Park. Hopefully, we'll all be back in PNC Park in 2021. And before we go to break, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Use code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. That's LOCKEDON. Sorry, I had to pause. I was reading something. That is code LOCKEDON in all caps at BuiltBar.com, and you will receive 20% off of your first order. So we will be right back, guys. All right, guys, we are back from break. I hope you guys are having a great Monday. And today we're going to get a little fun. We're going to talk about PNC Park. We're going to talk about what makes PNC Park great and why PNC Park is basically one of the best ballparks in baseball. So we're going to start out kind of like, again, with me and Gabrielle from Locked On Red Sox talked about this, about money. And PNC Park is pretty good in terms of being an affordable ballpark to go to. There aren't many places in the country where you can get an MLB ticket for $10 or $15. There's not really a bad seat in Pittsburgh. Sitting in the 300 level like I have once, it was actually pretty nice because you can get a really good view of the backdrop of Pittsburgh as well as the Clemente Bridge, and you can obviously see everything from being up there. But hopefully the franchise starts putting games again together so... we can start getting some Iron City beer and some fans in the stands again, but obviously COVID might change that. But I mean, PNC Park, I've been there a couple times and I've absolutely loved it every time I've went, and it's just a really good ballpark. I'm just hoping the team starts giving us some good play to go along with a great ballpark. Now, of course, we have to go into the food. Mullins is probably one of the best places in Pittsburgh. Buffalo pierogies are something I never thought that I would ever know about until I saw them. And I love spicy food. And buffalo pierogies are absolutely amazing. Their burgers are absolutely amazing. Loaded nachos. We all love nachos. We all know that. Also great. It then continues with, if you want to drink outside the stadium, Mullins sells IC Lights for $3. So, yeah, if you ever go to Pittsburgh, go to Mullins because you're going to be getting some cheap beer. IC Lights are great. IC, for example, tastes like the Monongahela River water. IC Lights are pretty better. And then, obviously, you got Permane Brothers inside. Probably one of the most iconic sandwiches in all of the United States, Permane Brothers. I mean, we all know about Permane's. It's just absolutely a godsend. Manny's in center field with that barbecue, Manny Sanguian's barbecue. We all know that. Crab fries, big thing in Pittsburgh. You definitely aren't going to leave Pittsburgh hungry if you ever go and visit, even if it's not to a baseball game, just in general, because they will feed you in Pittsburgh. Trust me, that Irish and Polish gene will definitely fill you up. I would also say the festivities at PNC Park are probably great as well. You obviously have the pierogi race. Pre-game, walking across the Clemente Bridge or running a kayak or just anything or going on one of the boats that go around Pittsburgh. It's just a beautiful city. And PNC Park is just a beautiful ballpark, especially with that Clemente Bridge. Like, I've walked across the Clemente Bridge multiple times, and it's just a beautiful bridge. The Gateway Clipper, by the way, is a great time killer before games. It's a very fabulous spot. I mean, it's a really just, like, really great. I mean, it's like, I know I keep sounding like a broken record, but like, there's just so many things to do pregame and postgame before Pirates and after Pirates games. There are plenty of options in pregame, like beverages and everything. Like I said before, with food, like, you will never be bored because of the food or anything. I mean, you really go to PNC Park too, and you feel like it's like a neighborhood. Like, it's just like a little like stadium in a neighborhood. And tailgating, if you ever tailgated a Pirates game, goes all the way along the river, in the parking lots, local sports bars, even hell, all the way down to PNC or Heinz Field. Which, I mean, that's a long thing. Plus, also, after the game, if you're visiting Pittsburgh, there's plenty of great hotels, and there's plenty of places to go eat and drink after the games. The atmosphere, by the way, also in Pittsburgh is absolutely ridiculous. Whenever the Pirates are winning, and we all know the 2013 wildcard game, even outside of that, the Pirates just have some of the better fans in baseball in terms of when they're winning. I will say that. When they're losing, you don't hear about them as much, but they are definitely a fan base that craves winning as the Pittsburgh Pirates. And you just really have to respect that Pittsburgh sports fans are just really huge. Like, it's like a very big thing to be a Pittsburgh sports fan. And the Pirates, whenever they're winning, PNC Park, when it's packed out, is absolutely crazy. Like, those fans go nuts. And you add that on top of the scenery and the view with the Allegheny right behind it. We've seen baseballs fly into the Allegheny as long as PNC's been there. The Clemente Bridge is freaking gold, for God's sake, so you can't miss it even when it's nighttime. Then you have all the buildings behind it that light up in the night, too. I prefer PNC Park during the day, personally. A lot of people prefer it at night. I prefer going during the day. But PNC Park is easily probably one of the best picture-worthy ballparks in all of baseball. And I hope that we're able to go back in 2021. And with that today, guys, I am going to leave you on this Monday. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. I hope everything is going well. Again, I want you guys to send me questions to the mailbag so we can do a mailbag episode, or give me content ideas, or ask to come on the show. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your Monday. Thank you so much.